What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Emery basically makes a point here that you don't have to choose between winning and finding out what you have in the young quarterbacks.
Why not do both? You could win games and also find out who your quarterback is, hence starting Shedeur Sanders. We know where Flacco is. Flacco is your floor, your safety net. I would start Shedeur Sanders. I could say start one of the rookies, but obviously I believe Shedeur is better. But you can also win. I think we do a bad job in the media, and I'm including myself into this, and letting these coaches and GMs off the hook. They are NFL franchises. They're supposed to be the best of the best. No team should be under 7 wins. You know, it doesn't take long to turn the team around. We've seen this countless time and time again. The Browns have good football players, and it's up to the coaching staff to play the right players, play the best players, and go win games. Like, you could win games while developing a guy for your future and find out what you have.
So I do think in the end, teams end up having to make this choice more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if there is a beauty in the simplicity of the Browns' plan, it is that no matter if your quarterback is Joe, Dylan, Kenny, or Shedeur, the idea is the same, which is you're going to have a play action heavy, right? You're going to try and build everything off the run, and then off the run, you mirror the pass game. And listen, you're probably not going to do a lot of movement, which is a problem. I don't know why they can't do that successfully. But my point is, like, the whole point of this offense, in this Stefanski offense, is each guy fits the system a little differently. But how you're going to try and win with Kenny is how you're going to try and win with Dylan or Shedeur.
Yeah, but I think so what's interesting to me about this is that the ceiling for each is very, very different. And if you have Joe Flacco, then they are telling you they're prioritizing wins over the future quarterback.
Yeah.
Like that. That's you can't spell it out.
And they still might
anymore.
Not get him.
Might not get him. That's the other beautiful part about it all. But they are telling you in many ways what exactly they are prioritizing in this discussion.
So I think specific to what you're saying there, I think this is where there is the danger zone. On one hand, if I think you're a 3-5 win team, regardless of who your quarterback is, if you win 3-5 games, it's going to be tougher for me in December to say, I guess we're going to fire you now. At the same point, if you were trying to win games and you end up winning 3-5 games, that's wildly different than if you erred on the side of youth and you won 3-5 games. And I think that's where... Now, this is where messaging matters and the truth matters. I'm not saying what they're saying publicly is the truth, but if you start Joe week one, you are presenting the idea that we expect to compete on some level this year.
Here's the other side of this as well. Like, if you start Joe week one and what you signal that way, but versus the rookie quarterbacks, there's probably a part of the Browns that don't want to see both rookie quarterbacks actually play, because the moment that you see them play, you can then have the reality that they both stink. Like, that exists out there. And if they both stink, then guess what? Next year you're drafting a new quarterback, but then also you would then have to figure out the backup quarterback situation as well. Whereas there'd be many teams that would prefer the mystery box that is Dylan Gabriel if he never touches the field, or Shedeur if he never touches the field, and what that could be.
Oh, see, this is where I think it's incumbent on the coach that you tell these guys, hey, we're going to give you these chances this year, and if it doesn't work out, you're still under contract beyond that.
No. Like, but if it's more the idea that they go out there and they look like DTR, who just looked unplayable. Well, it looked to the point where there's no recourse. After DTR played those three games that last season, there was zero justifying ever bringing him back or ever even keeping him.
Like, we call that the Nathan Peterman, by the way.
Yeah, where it just looks so bad and it looks so awful and the cat's out of the bag. You can't rely on that guy at all.
So this is actually an extension of the Joe Burrow, why do you care about week one if your aspirations are, you know, compete for a Super Bowl? I understand that a fan wants to hear the Browns are doing everything they can to get up for week one. And I understand that the first six games are incredibly important to that locker room, because if you start out 0-6, you know whether they're not all of a sudden pulling nose up on that thing at 0-6 or 1-5.
Yeah.
All those things being said, what's more important, week one or giving a young quarterback as many games as possible to see? And it, by the way, it's not just can they be a franchise quarterback, it's can you, they grow into something. Like if Dylan Gabriel starts in the ground floor, can you get him to the fourth floor by the time, you know, half the season goes on? Or if Shador were to start week one, can you get him to the fourth, fifth, sixth floor, even if it's not the penthouse? Can you just see development? Because if a quarterback is developing, I know we think about the NFL and like the static terms here, but if Joe Flacco is the same week one and he's the same week eight, the development's going to have to happen around Joe Flacco.
Which is, by the way, very, very likely that yes. Joe will be the same person he is week one than
and
he is week eight.
I'd be surprised if he suddenly was like, and now I run, unlike Forrest Gump.
And week 18.
But whereas starting a young quarterback, they might be a C-minus week one. And if you get him to a B-plus by week 11, you can have an ascending team late in the season.
Well, but if you get that quarterback, whatever rookie that is, if you get that guy to a B-plus by week 11, then that guy's going to finish out the entire season anyway.
Yeah, but I come back to the idea of, like, listen, Emery's kind of making a firm rule here of, well, you don't have to choose between winning and finding out what you have, but you might have to. So I disagree with that, by the way, because there are teams that have to make that decision. I just disagree the Browns have to make that decision. I think you have to think about, all right, who's best for week one? But if we start one of the young guys week one, what does that grow into? And how, like, because this is another absolute thing that I hate in the NFL. He's not ready. Ready is a sliding scale of possibilities. If he is close enough to being playable, how quickly can you get him to playable by actually playing? And how quickly can you take him from playable to being somebody who has mastered your offense or to somebody who is maybe helping you win?
Well, and also, I just don't think every quarterback needs to be Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers where they get 3 years and are 100% guaranteed beyond ready to be able to be thrown in. Like, sometimes you do just have to say, let's get these guys out here.
You mean like a 6-year starter in college and a 4-year starter in college?
Exactly. People that have played a bunch of football, like the guys the Browns drafted.
So every time I hear one of these, and I thought Ken, like when I pushed back earlier this week of like, guys, they're giving Dylan Gabriel every chance here. So whether it's week one or whether it's week four, they're giving him things that signal this could be a reality, whether you and I think he looks good or not. So much of that was, so much of the pushback that I think Ken had or that listeners had was, wow, week one, you're either going to ruin him or you're going to ruin the team's chance to win week one. And it's like, this cannot be all about week one.
Well, also, if you would have done it in week one, then if you threw him out there by week seven, you're probably going to have a very similar outcome.
Well, and by the way, specifically what you just said, which I think this is really important. There will be a natural process of adjusting to the NFL. And that process is going to look very similar whether you start week one or whether you start week seven. And I know nobody wants to hear this because all anybody wants to hear right now is we're going to go out there and people are going to say we're going to win 5.5 games and we're going to win 10 games and this is the Joe Show 2.0. But this time we're going to beat Houston in the playoffs. I get that.
The Joe Show.
There's a lot of things. 2.0. Wow,
it sounds like it's like a nighttime show in Arkansas.
It's actually the show name on Walmart because I just now realized what I did.
The show name on Walmart?
Yes, because Walmart has like a, and it's like the Joe Show. It's a great idea. They really should run with that one.
Yeah, I
definitely don't roll my eyes when I'm walking around the store. Definitely not me. Not me or not anybody else.
Wait, does Walmart have specifically branded radio shows going on?
I believe it's AI, but yes. Yeah, there's like some thing going, and they play songs, and it's the Jello Show.
What?
It's awful.
I've never heard
this. No, sorry. It's great. They do a great job. I'd love to be.
I'm kind of surprised more people don't do stuff like that, I guess.
I'd love to be the Nick Show.
And it's like every Walmart just has the Joe Show playing all the time?
It's something like that, yes. I promise you, I'm not making this up. Other people can text it or tweet in.
I like that you've been in Walmarts long enough to know that they have their own brand of Joe
Show. You've seen my eye twitch? Yeah. You've seen that happen? That's what happens, but it's because it's a great show. I twitch because it's just a great idea.
Does Target have like something that they call their own too? The Bo Show?
Here's the thing. Here's how my mind works, is I immediately went through all the curse words that rhyme with Joe, and I was like, what names rhyme with Joe? And so when you said Bo, I was like, oh, that was right there.
Was the one.
Yeah. Now, getting back to it, there is the natural, like, I understand that we want to win. I'm not saying you shouldn't want to win, but this prioritizing week one as if it's more important than week six or seven or eight, or the arc of the season is short-sighted. And listen, Joe's our whoopee. We feel comfortable with Joe. I feel comfortable with Joe. But if you told me right now Dylan or Shador was 85% ready, and that within the first 3 weeks, by playing them, they could get 100% ready to just compete in the NFL,
yeah,
I would take that, because those first 3 weeks, it might be bumpy, but each week you're going to be building on something.
When it gives you a chance is the point. It gives you a chance of actually finding your future quarterback. The problem with Joe Flacco, and has always been the problem with the Joe Flacco conversation, is that is DOA when it comes to having somebody that you can take into the following season and actually grow something with.
216-474-0092. What is this season more about for the Browns, winning or finding out what you have in the young quarterbacks? Mike in Stowe, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
2.0.
So, look, I thought you guys were saying, I don't mind if they start a rookie. I really don't. I don't think it's going to make a big enough difference in the season, whether they start veterans or they start rookies in the end of the season, the win-loss total. I don't think it. Maybe 1-2 wins at the most. I just think we're headed for a rough season in a tough division with a tough schedule. And we have a lot of things that we have to figure out, like offensive line. I've gone on this several times. It's our third offensive line coach in 3 years, and we went from one of the best ever in Bill Callahan. We have not got better since. When the guy we got now, we'll have to see. So I think to say that they would start, if they started Joe, they're trying to win more than if they started a rookie. I don't agree with that, because I would say that if the only reason they hold out a rookie, and I know this whole not ready yet thing, I know it's kind of a cliche, but we have a lot of things on offense that we're still going to be working on, you know, and our running game is going to be all new. We got a couple new receivers coming in, tight ends, you know, a lot going on. It might just do a rookie good to watch a veteran operate for a few weeks and get it going, even if we are losing, to see how that is. It doesn't need to be 3 years like Jordan Love, Jonathan, but, you know, there might be a comfort zone where seeing a guy doing it, they get a little bit better with it. It might be a little haphazard, a lot of, you know, false starts. I just don't want to see a guy, you know, get caught up in all of that. I do think could be detrimental to somebody's development, and I don't want to see that happen. But I'm all for seeing a whole lot of, you know, rookies this year. I don't know that it needs to be week one, though, if it's just not, you know, all things aren't right. I just think, you know, we've got a lot to learn this year. We don't need to be hasty.
Mike, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. Here's my rebuttal. To have Joe have the kind of success that he had in 2023 – you need a strong running game. Mm-hmm. You need the offensive line to be healthy and locked into the new system. And you need a strong running game with an emphasis on play action pass and disguising a lot of the things you're trying to do in the passing game. By the way, how do you set up a rookie quarterback to succeed? You have a healthy veteran offensive line with a distinct blocking scheme and a good blocking scheme that marries the run and the pass. And you factor in, I'm at least talking about under Kevin Stefanski in any of his, you factor in a power run game that is the star of the show. The quarterback, even if Joe plays, his arm's going to be the star occasionally. Joe is not the star of the show. And I continue to rhyme Joe.
Tell that to Joe, by the way.
Oh, tell that to Bo, by the way. But Joe's not going to be the star of the show. Neither is Dylan, neither is Shador, neither is Kenny Pickett. The run game and that offensive line is built to be the star here. And if it can't, if by the way, if the O-line can't get it done, That's going to affect.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Joe, just the same way it's going to affect the rookies.
About that is that for the first 6 weeks of the season, it might even be more. We don't know because we get no updates on Quinshon Judkins literally ever. We don't know how long he's going to be out. So you're going to have a Jerome Ford, which I like Jerome Ford, but it's going to be a Jerome Ford and a Dylan Sampson combo that you're going to have to start to rely on.
That actually is the beauty of the way they've set this up. And we've seen this all the time. I know it's not the direct Shanahan wide zone. Every one of these have different wrinkles. But the point is, when you feature the O-line really is the star of this team. They're going to get these guys moving. They're going to get them in power situations where they're moving the opposing defensive line and opening up holes for the running back. So a good running back can eat in a system like this, and a good running back or good running backs by tandem, then plugging into a great offensive line, that takes so much pressure off a rookie quarterback. And listen, Joe, I'm fairly certain Joe is going to start week one. I'm cool with that because I like Joe Flacco. But this idea of well, you owe it to X, Y. No. You owe it to the Browns over 18 weeks to figure out who in the hell can play and who in the hell can't. And there's no more greater position of importance in that conversation than the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, well, are they ready week one? It's how far away from being ready are they? And can you grow something? Because with Joe, the growth is going to be the O-line gets stronger, the run game gets stronger, the defense gets better because young guys play more.
Yeah.
With a young quarterback, there's growth beyond just, well, they're locking in synergy and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, you are telling me in many ways, though, if you take Joe Flacco and put him out there in week one, that you are prioritizing wins over the idea of finding out what these quarterbacks
are.
Your
ass better win in those 6 weeks.
That's what you're doing.
And I think that better be the case with the Browns. Like, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, and I'm not yet, I'm not any of the Haslams, not Cletus, not Jebediah, not Billy Sue, any of them.
Who do you got to marry to get into that? Vanessa's going to be pissed.
I think she'd be okay.
She's going to be pissed.
If it came with, like, 10-0s, I think she'd be okay.
Okay, all right, good. At least you know
she
that.
She would understand. She'd be like, well, that's you owe me.
She would understand the reverse side of that, too. Like, if she ended up with a Haslam, but it was worth $100 million, you'd be like, okay.
Do I get a kickback?
Okay. Yeah, I imagine.
I mean, it's not worth it. My heart would be broken. I'd be a shell of a man for the rest of my life, but yes. I'd be a rich shell of a man.
Well, she would technically be the rich one. It's just whatever scrap she'd be willing to give you.
As long as I'm rich, I can recover.
Scraps. It's not,
if I'm poor and cuckolded, man, there's just no coming back for that for me, right?
And just,
I already have
just
low
no
self-esteem.
Way.
We don't really need to kick it into high gear, okay? But a little bit of money. Yeah. 216.
You're not going to out-freak this freak, okay?
That's good. 216-474-0092. Thomas and Shaker, stick there. Is this season more about winning or finding out what you have in the quarterbacks? More on that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Joe Thomas asked me out at the spot, mm-hmm. and he was like, hey, where should I go in Charlotte?
Yeah.
I gave him three no BS awesome places to eat in Charlotte, like three of my favorite places to eat, and it's all in Uptown, which also matters, because that's downtown is where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't be like, have you gone to Chili's?
Well, yeah, that would be dumb.
Like, for instance, our boy Willie P, I'm going to continue to throw him under the, bus on this one.
I mean, to make that clear.
When the first time I went to, Spartanburg, when the Panthers had training camp down there, I reached out to Willie, who at this point was still in Atlanta. And I said to Will, I was like, I got to know, where do I go in Spartanburg?
Yeah, Will thinks he's a foodie.
Yeah, well, here's the problem.
He thinks he's a foodie.
He told me to go to Shane's. All right?
Is that like a chain that I'm unaware of?
Oh, I walked in. It was chainy as you can get.
Yeah.
It was so chainy, it shot me in the face. That's how chainy it was. All right?
It shot you in the face?
We don't have to reason the joke. Or trying to slide one by
is it
there.
Is like a two chains thing? We're going there. Is that what was trying
But no, I mean, it was a chain, and I never let him. And by the way, because of that, because he gave me away, he's like, you got to go to Shane's. And I'm like, I'm not eating a chain. It's like a Southern barbecue, which, by the way, didn't even look that good.
What was the spot that Fedor once, I don't remember who he was talking to. He was talking to some NBA writer and tried giving a.
It wasn't McDonald's, but it was somewhere damn close to that.
It was a chain, but it was one he didn't realize was a national or even more than just regional chain. And it's just I did that in Houston once. I tell you a quick story. I wish I could even remember the name of the place, but I was so excited. My family came in to visit me, and they hadn't yet been in Houston, and there was a little sandwich shop that I'd been going to for a while.
Was it McAllister's?
It was McAllister's. No.
Because I did that in Michigan. Wasn't McAllister's. I didn't know it was a chain either.
Wasn't McAllister's, because they had McAllister's in St. Louis. I wish I could remember what place it was, but it was definitely a chain, and I showed up, and I brought them all to this place, and then half the car knew that it was a chain, and it was in all sorts of places across the country, and I had no idea. And you just feel so tiny in that moment.
So do you know? And so here's what happens. Willie P says, you go to Shane's. I go there. There's nothing. And we got to understand, Spartanburg is Spartan. There's not a lot of like visible things. It is an economically depressed area. So I got my boy Hacksaw there, basically my adopted son. And so there was a place called Firewater right next to it. It said fresh food. And we walk in. And it was a restaurant / nightclub that was being renovated. And there were multiple warning signs. But again, this
Jason's
is all.
Jason's Deli, that was the point.
This is all because Willie P couldn't give me a good rec in Spartanburg. So we're there, and the guy comes out, and it's like paper, it's like printed menus, like off of like your crappy computer printer, like that.
Yeah.
Still, we're so hungry. Like
maybe this was Willie P just telling you he doesn't like you very much.
Oh, it might be. And here's the worst part.
That is a fun joke.
At some point, there's a guy who was in his boxers, and he was working on the lighting for the club part of this. The problem is, you could see things. And it, by the way, blessed. Well done, sir. Good for you. All right. If I would walk around in those same shorts if I was dealing with what you're dealing with.
Show me your tricks, big boy.
But the point is, I'm eating boneless wings, which are like a C-minus boneless wings, while watching this hang dangle just glide all over the place. And that's Willie P's fault. Because I had to figure out a place in a place that was unfamiliar. And if he had not told me Shane's, and by the way, he had heart underwear on. And I was like, well, this is just too much. Like, me and Hacksaw were asking, like, is this going to turn into, like, is this, like maybe, like, a club? Like, is there, like, is maybe a pineapple scene going on? Like, we didn't know what was going on because of the level of unclothedness around us.
Keith says it was Fedor to Jared Greenberg, which tracks. Mm. As they were trying to, like, NBA writers be like, oh, yeah, I know places. Oh, I know places, too. And then he told him a place. It was just a chain.
And, by the way, kudos to Jared, who has not let him up on that since. Like, every time Jared comes on, he makes mention to it because Chris deserves that.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. So when I tell you, hey, these are three spots, it's because I've eaten there.
So you're not sending Joe to a place where he's going to just stare at someone's crotch for an hour?
By the way, there's no staring. It was just there.
Like, oh my God, look at that.
Just there. And by the way, there was like a family eating over
there.
Blissfully unaware.
Did you think about leaving or no?
What?
Did you think about leaving or did you at least try the food?
I was worried that it would seem
obvious.
I thought it would seem insensitive to leave.
That guy doesn't care about whether he's offending people or not. Clearly.
No. I felt like they would look at me as like, oh, he can't hang.
Literally. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and then just looked at it and said, this isn't going to be it?
Ooh, I'm sure I have.
Just kind of walked out then?
I'm sure I have, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I
Okay. Although I'm getting better at that as I get older. Like if I walk in and there's bad service, and again, bad service is like nobody greets you. You're standing there like with your hand for 10 minutes.
If you're failing the little things, can't get that right, how can I possibly expect you to get the meal right?
Or if like somebody comes up with you with just a bad attitude, I already didn't want to eat there, I'm out.
You can walk into a spot. I'm convinced like 90% of spots you can walk into and know whether or not you're going to have a good meal. Just by the look of it, just by just how it feels, and whether or not there's other people in it too matters as well. You go to a place that's supposed to be highly rated and nobody's there. Never a good sign.
I knew 5 seconds into Firewater that I should leave. Here was the other problem.
Was that the name of the restaurant or the guy's piece?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. Just putting out fires. What I will tell you about this is I also didn't know where we were going to eat that night. It was getting late. And I was like, listen, if this breaks down to an orgy, we'll just leave. But we're going to risk it because I really need to eat some food. Thomas in Shaker Heights. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Nick, JP, I waited tables back in my day, still do a little bit here and there. And I had one time I had a customer walk out on me because he said that nobody in the restaurant was smiling. It's weird.
Were you smiling? Can you rebut that?
I ain't gonna smile at another man, you know?
God forbid.
Were you also at Firewaters?
Going to a great service. You get your service when you're around me, but you know what I mean? Like, I ain't gonna, you know. Anyway, Shador, so on the topic of should we, I listened to your radio show all day. I listened to John Fanta. He talked about the Browns doing whatever they can to find a quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized listening to your radio station today that the internet is not really a real place because the internet is saying the Browns are trying to sabotage your door. But in real life, when you talk to Browns fans, the most common thing that they say about our young quarterbacks is we rush them. We always rush our quarterbacks too fast. So here we are in a situation where we're actually taking our time with our quarterback and we're trying to mold him and we're trying to do whatever we can to take our time to develop him. And now people are saying, oh, no, y'all taking too long. And I'm like, hey, you know, I really do think that we just need to take our time with Shador Sanders. And that means starting Joe Flacco first so he can learn behind a good veteran first before you put him in there. I'm all for that. Like just take your time with Shador, honestly. Just take your time.
Thomas, we got to run, buddy, but we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
But you are up against a clock of sorts, though. The idea that everyone can just take their time, you are up against a clock where you have to find out if either Shador or Dylan is a reason why you don't have to take a quarterback number one overall if you end up being number one overall next year.
Well, and what's more important to ruining quarterbacks is not just when they play, but the context they step into. So if the context week one, which is you're going to do a power run game in the wide zone run scheme, and the running game and the offensive line are going to be the stars, that's probably the healthiest your O-line's going to be all year. It's probably the healthiest your running back room's going to be. So the context, meaning your O-line and your run game, that's going to hit week one the same way it's going to hit week 7 or week 8. That, to me, is as important as when do you play one of these guys if they're within a reasonable window of readiness. 216-474-0092. What is this more about this season, winning or finding out what you have in quarterbacks, in case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.